This community update was brought to you by U-Radio. The University of Manitoba's first ever BioBlitz, running from May 11th to 15th, is part of the larger Campus Landscape Series. It's bringing together students, staff, and community members to document the plants, insects, and birds that call the campus home. Participants over this last week are snapping photos and uploading them to the iNaturalist app, turning everyday observers into what organizers call citizen scientists. The goal? Build a clear picture of campus biodiversity and how it's changing, and through that, to develop the area in a more sustainable way. Joanne Joyce, a longtime biologist and advocate for native plants, says efforts like this are key to understanding environmental shifts.
So one of the reasons we encourage people to document, you know, Joni Mitchell said it really well. You don't know what you got till it's gone. It's a way of taking a snapshot of the life around us that we often don't notice. And it shows us change over time, whether plant species or an insect species are declining over time.
The BioBlitz is equal parts collecting data and learning to see and value the ecosystems around us. Three themed sessions were held throughout the week. Plants on May 12th, insects on May 13th, and birds on May 14th. Despite cold and windy conditions, participants joined Joyce outdoors for an up-close look at the life emerging after a long cold spring. Her message about plants focused on connection.
It's not just about scientists doing studies that can document for us empirically these species or these insects are declining. It's about, these are your neighbors. You know, every plant, every insect, every little critter is part of the ecosystem to which we all belong. And it's about supporting that.
During the session, attendees spotted a wide range of species, from blooming plants to sparrows, geese, rabbits, squirrels, hawks, and even signs of deer activity. That sense of connection comes at a crucial time. Biodiversity loss is accelerating due to habitat destruction, pesticide use, and climate change. One of the groups most affected is pollinators. Jason Gibbs with the Department of Entomology at the university says their decline could directly impact the foods we eat.
They don't need that sort of directed pollination in the same way. They benefit, so it might increase something like canola's yield by a few percentage points, but they're not required, they're not mandatory. But it depends on what kind of crops that you're looking at. If you like blueberries, if you like strawberries, if you like apples, cherries, all those sorts of things are going to be really dependent on insect pollinators.
Gibbs notes that while some Manitoba crops, like wheat, rely on wind pollination, the loss of pollinators would still have widespread consequences. In Manitoba alone, hundreds of bee species depend on specific plants and conditions to survive. Gibbs says even small changes at home can help support them.
Well, the best thing you can do is always to plant native plants. That's the ideal. That's the gold standard. You can kind of think about any kind of open flower that has accessible pollen and nectar. You know, some plants, like some really ornamental roses, there's so many petals, it's kind of hard for the bees to access. But wild roses have this really open flower. So that's kind of what you're looking for.
The sessions as part of the BioBlitz were also an opportunity to highlight the importance of indigenous knowledge in sustaining ecosystems. During her session, Joyce emphasized how indigenous communities have long practiced sustainable land management.
Well, one of the things about biodiversity is that the plants that we come in contact with on a daily basis are part of our culture. It doesn't matter what our culture is, it's part of our culture. And the thing that is most important to me about retaining native plant species and native, that is, indigenous management practices, is that our Treaty 1 lands are where they co-evolved, native plants and indigenous people, and they have been managing the land in a sustainable way for centuries.
She says these practices, once overlooked, are now gaining recognition in scientific communities.
More and more, as science progresses and we gather more information, we're finding that those management practices are very healthy for our landscape. And You know, the native prairies here are adapted to fire, they're adapted to flooding, and those are all important parts of the big picture and keeping this very diverse system self-sustaining.
Joyce also stressed the importance of preserving cultural and community knowledge, sometimes referred to as grandma knowledge.
Every other plant here was used for something, and some of that knowledge has been lost. So I'm looking forward to learning from Indigenous scholars on campus and just people that I come in contact with who have that grandma knowledge.
Organizers of the event say one of the biggest takeaways from the BioBlitz is that fighting biodiversity loss doesn't require big, dramatic actions. Simple steps like planting native species, leaving leaf litter, or even caring for a small balcony garden can all add up.
A small little patch on your lawn, or even just, you know, potted plant up, you know, on a balcony, if that's all the space that you have, that's just contributing. It's, you know, drops in the bucket, but it, you know, with enough drops, it kind of fills.
By combining citizen scientists, academic research, and Indigenous knowledge, the University of Manitoba's Campus Landscape Series and its first BioBlitz shows that coexistence with nature is essential, because everything is connected. With U Multicultural and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ryan Funk.